We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. And right on cue, Coach Yell is with us. Hurricanes, an exciting win on Sunday night on the campus of the University of Central Florida, 66-64, with a bizarre ending. Coach L, good evening. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm good. I loved your call playing on Wooga's dunk and Nigel's bucket. So we're off to a good start tonight.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the game. Your team made the trip up there. Like a business trip, you went up there, and they had a good environment. I was wondering what kind of environment they would have on Sunday at 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving weekend, but I thought they did a good job, and at the end of the half, your team took control. Why were you able to gain control at the end of the half?
Well, you know, first of all, I think Johnny Dawkins has done a great job. He and his staff, Kevin Norris, who played here as his assistant coach, they've recruited very, very well. They got a very talented squad. And quite frankly, Joe, the University of Central Florida is gigantic. They got like 80,000 students. So the students that came back to campus after the Thanksgiving weekend showed up at the arena. They created a great environment. It was outstanding atmosphere. They got a lot of support right now. You know, they're moving to the Big 12. They're in the American Conference, but next year at this time, I believe they'll be in the Big 12. So their basketball program is definitely on the rise, and our game with them was very typically of two high major programs battling it out. I think what was interesting, at the end of the half, with 5 minutes to go, we had four players with two fouls each, three of them sitting on the bench, and Bensley Joseph staying on the court with two. And our freshman, Fava Ire, and A.J. Casey did a magnificent job at the defensive end of the floor, and we were able to go on an 8-0 run, sparked at the end by an Isaiah Wong three-point shot from midcourt, which gave us that six-point lead. And we were never we never relinquished it. Central Florida was never able to get ahead again. So, outstanding road victory, our first true road win of the season.
Now, the game did have a bizarre ending in that they took a free throw, missed it on purpose, and then the ball looked like it had volleyballed around, but the clock didn't move. So we had a long discussion with the referees, but they had the courage to make the right call.
Well, we were up two, and C.J. Walker was given two free throws, but he missed the first, setting up that dramatic ending. He missed the second really hard. He kind of threw it off of the rim. It bounced up, and Jordan Miller got his hand on it, but he couldn't collect it. The ball got tapped up in the air and headed towards the out-of-bounds. For whatever reason, the guy who runs the clock did not start the clock, and even though there was just 1.4 seconds on it when the free throw was missed, it still had 1.4 seconds after it had been tipped and ended up out of bounds. So the officiating crew went to the video. You know how those refs love to go to the video?
Yeah.
And they brought a stopwatch and timed how long it took after the free throw was missed from the time Jordan Miller touched it till it ended up out of bounds. And as it turns out, it was more than the 1.4 seconds. So the referees told Johnny Dawkins, their head coach, and I, look at, you know, this game is really over. I immediately shook Johnny's hands, and we got out of there.
Yeah, before they could change their mind. Speaking of Jordan Miller, he had 11 points. He had that big basket out of the timeout, but just as important, they have a really nice freshman player, Taylor Hendricks, who's from down here in Fort Lauderdale, averaging 15 points a game. And I thought I was watching Jordan Miller and Jabari Smith again. Jordan Miller, I thought, exactly, did a great job defensively on him.
Yeah, we really rely on Jordan Miller to guard all kinds of players. And he guarded Taylor Hendricks, who is 6'9 or 10. People are talking about him being a one and done. He was their leading scorer coming into the game. But Jordan Miller is very, very clever. He has a very high basketball IQ. And after the scouting report, I'm sure he figures out, okay, this is how I'm going to guard this guy. And I thought he blocked one of his shots. They called a foul on him. I thought he blocked another shot. They called a foul on him again. But he kept the ball out of his hands. Taylor had a hard time getting it. Once he did get it, he tried to take away his drive, which he did. And he blocked him out so he couldn't get any offensive rebounds. So even though Taylor Hendricks is a possible one and done, Jordan Miller showed his experience and his ingenuity. He's just a really smart basketball player, and that was a big difference in the game. Our defense was terrific.
Yeah, also, I should mention, you know, they were holding their opponents to 60 points or less, five in a row, and you got over 60. And so I also thought it was like a relay team. You mentioned Bensley earlier. I thought he kind of got things started for you, maybe ignited. Wooga passed the baton to Wooga. Wooga had a flurry of scores. Then Isaiah hit the big shot. Then Nigel took over in the second half, and kind of in between anchoring it the whole time was Norchad.
Well, you're mentioning, you know, what the really good things are for us in that list of players who have all contributed. We've already talked about Jordan Miller's contribution. You know, Nigel Pack, his ability to make those shots, Norchad Omir's ability to control the backboard. He had a huge offensive rebound off of a missed free throw. And no, it was an Isaiah Wong jump shot. It was four Central Florida players versus Norchad, and he came up with it. And he corralled it, and that got the clock all the way down to, like, I think 8 seconds. Or, no, 14 seconds. And then they had a foul. So we were very, very fortunate. It was a great team effort. I think Central Florida is an NCAA tournament-type team. They're in a league, though, right now with the University of Houston, who I think yesterday moved into the number one spot. They're right. Number one in the country in the polls now.
Yeah. That was interesting. That Houston, that caught me by surprise that they jumped into the number one spot. Norchad, by the way, has made 8 of his last 16 field goals, and Nigel's made 15 of his last 22 in the last two games.
Yeah, those two guys are very efficient. And I want to go back to talking about the polls a little bit because as soon as I get off the phone here, Joe, I'm going to be watching the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Right.
Because come Selection Sunday, these games in November are still very, very important. In decades past, an ACC school didn't have to worry about the non-conference. You could play as many weak opponents as you wanted because your league was so good that if you had a good season in the ACC, you were going to get invited. That's no longer true. Last season, Notre Dame finished tied for second in the ACC, and they were the last team to get into the big dance. And, you know, we don't want that to happen again. We need the ACC to win a bunch of these ACC Big Ten Challenge games. Last night we went 2-0. Virginia Tech beat Minnesota. And then Pitt had a huge win at Northwestern, beat them by 29. So we're off to a good start, but tonight's games are going to be hugely important. Virginia plays at Michigan. And Virginia's in the top five right now. We need them to win. And then Carolina is at Indiana. Duke hosts Ohio State. And the most important game in the challenge is Miami versus Rutgers tomorrow night, 7:15, against a very dynamic Rutgers team. That's their defense is ranked in the top 11 teams in the country.
Yeah, I want to dive into Rutgers a little bit because they've made the NCAA tournaments back-to-back years. Their coach has done a good job. You got a couple, you know, they always talk about Rutgers recruiting in New Jersey, and they've got a couple of guys. The McKay kid is from New Jersey. Very interesting. Averaged a triple-double in high school. The first New Jersey high school player in 25 years to average a triple-double. And I don't know if he's banged up or not, but at any rate, he's put together a nice team and back-to-back years in the tournament.
Well, their head coach, Steve Peichel, has done a great job. And, Joe, you were there. They came to the Watsco Center, I forget how many years ago, five or six years ago? No. Yeah, probably about 5 years ago, and beat us by 3 points. So tomorrow, hopefully we can get some revenge, get back even against them. But they've got a player that when our coaches watch his highlights, one of my coaches said, oh, my goodness, he's like Wilt Chamberlain. And Wilt Chamberlain, they used to call him the Big Dipper because he dunked everything around the basket. And that's this guy. Cliff Omori is 6'11", 250 pounds. Like his wingspan is like 7'4". He palms the ball and dunks everything near the basket. So, you know, we're very undersized. And we're going to have a major challenge tomorrow night. Plus, you know, the guy you mentioned, you know, Spencer is a heck of a player. Mulcahy is, I think he'll probably start tomorrow. They've been starting a freshman, but I think Mulcahy's back from an injury. And then Spencer is their leading scorer. He and Amori, they're 1-2 punch, Mr. Inside Amori. And Mr. Outside Spencer, if you add Mulcahy to that group, they've got a great lethal weapon three.
Yeah, Omori, going into the NCAA tournament a year ago, he led the nation in dunks. So, like you mentioned, he dunks everything. He led the country in dunks last year.
Yeah, he's probably dunked the ball 15 or 20 times already in five games. I mean, he's just ridiculous because of his arms. They're so long, his hands are so big, anything close to the basket, he can just reach up and dunk the ball. But, we've got Norshad Omier, and I was very pleased with our two freshmen. One of the highlights for me was after our last game, looking at the plus-minus, meaning plus is how good did the team do when you were in, or minus how much did you get outscored when you were on the court. And Favor was the highest plus minus with 8, and AJ Casey was second with 6. So that was a very close game, and a lot of guys on our team were just plus 2, because that's how many we won by.
AJ Casey looks like he has the potential to be a very nice player. When you originally scouted him and tracked him down, offered him a scholarship, what were some of the things that you liked about AJ Casey?
Well, AJ is about 6'8 or 9, weighs about 210 pounds. He can shoot the three, and we're working with AJ on a post game so he can use his size and athletic ability to score over the defense in the post. And as his 3-point shot improves, his ball handling and decision making improve, he can be an outstanding 3-4 man. Right now, we have him playing like backup 5, but he's going to be able to play multiple positions and guard multiple players with his athletic ability. And Bill Courtney, who came here from DePaul, his son DJ was a high school basketball player in Chicago, and Bill has known AJ and recognized his talents. And AJ decided he wanted to go south. He liked the warm weather. He came on the official visit with his family, and it was one of those very busy weekends that the place was packed and rocking, and he fell in love with the place and decided to come to Miami.
It's a great story. I often think when I watch you analyze the game as the game is going on, I think that you probably are watching a different game than the rest of us. I just think you see the game differently. As you watch the UCF game unfold, maybe I asked you this before, but because you absorb all the information, how long does it take you maybe to unlock the game plan of the other team when you see what they're doing and maybe figure out if it's different from what you anticipated?
Well, for the most part, especially early in the season, you don't know the opponent quite as well as you know your conference teams. But my staff does a great job of breaking everything down. And then DJ Irving is our scout team coordinator. He simulates what the opponent is going to do. And we have a scout team of mostly young guys that have to execute the opponent's offense and defense. And DJ has them doing a great job. During the game, because we're so familiar with what they've done even before the game to develop our game plan, it's just a matter of seeing what the other coach is emphasizing. Are they going inside? Are they shooting a lot of threes? Are they changing their defense or just sticking with their man-to-man? If they zone, what kind of zone is it? And we're going to see that tomorrow night against Rutgers at the Watsco Center, 7:15. I hope we have a great crowd on hand. I hope our students, who've been great coming to games, I hope they turn out in large numbers, because these guys, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, they change defenses constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult from the coach's standpoint to get the direction to our players. It's really up to our point guard, either Nigel Pack or Bensley Joseph, to organize our team, get everybody on the same page so we can execute the offense versus a particular defense. Because we don't run the same thing versus man as we do against the zone.
Do you ever look at it and say to yourself, this is exactly what we expected? Or, look at this. These guys are throwing a real twist in there.
Well, very often we can anticipate what they're going to do, and our players are well prepared. Yeah. There are some coaches, though, that like to put a twist into things, and they adjust their game plan based on the opponent. And I'll give you two examples. Tony Bennett's Virginia team, they rarely have any surprises for you. They're just so good at playing their man-to-man pack defense and running their motion offense. On the other hand, when we play Clemson, Brad Burnell, who I've coached against for 20 years, both in the ACC and in the Colonial Athletic Association, he always likes to throw in a wrinkle. He always likes some trick or some strategy that he doesn't think the opponent will be ready for. And so you've got to be ready for both, Joe, for the guy you know is not changing, and for also the guy who you know is likely to have several different changes.
Last year you went to FAU, and that was a very important game for you because of the home court and getting your team ready for ACC by taking him on the road. Do you think you got a similar experience the other night against UCF? Because I thought your guys played with a lot of composure. I thought they really enjoyed playing there.
I think they did too, Joe. And I agree. Last year, do you remember how many we won by at FAU?
I think it was one or two. Is that the buzzer?
Two.
Yeah, two.
Two. Isaiah Wong made a driving layup with basically like 2 seconds left, and we won by 2 points. Last night, we won by two. They missed a couple of free throws that would have tied it. So these road games early in the season really do prepare us for the tough ACC contests. And for our fans who follow us closely – Last season, we had 17 games that were decided in the last minute, normally on the last possession.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No wonder my blood pressure went up last year.
Yeah, your 17. Blood pressure. You're doing the announcement. I got to try to figure out how to win those games.
I got to go see a cardiologist after this year because of it. Nigel, along those lines, Nigel played in the Big 12 last year, so he played at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. He scored 35 points in one of his games against Kansas, but he's played in some pretty loud venues. Are you optimistic that that obviously transfers over when we go on the road and inside the ACC?
Well, what really transfers over is skills. Mm-hmm. Nigel has a lot of basketball skills. He can dribble, he can pass, and he can really, really shoot. And between making good dribble moves and good decisions, he's doing a terrific job. And he's going to be able to do that. Now, I'll say this. You never know how the opponent will treat him. Yeah. I remember when we had Shane Larkin, there were some teams that just double-teamed him and made it difficult for him to score a lot. Some teams put a very big guy, a 6'7 guy. And I think that's what Rutgers will do tomorrow. They'll put a big guy on Nigel and try to make it difficult for him to make those jump shots. But Nigel has a very, very good basketball IQ. He really understands offense very well. He's very patient, which is really important. And he's had games where, you know, first half he might have 2 or 4 points, and the second half he explodes. Because he's also like a professional prize fighter. He's feeling out the opponent, trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to score on these guys? Other nights, he just comes out on the attack and goes right to work early. So a lot depends on how the opponent defends him. But I think he's ready for whoever we play.
You know, it's interesting you say that because as I watch him, one, I see the wheels turning in his head, and two, just my observation, but my observation would be, and I'm just the announcer, that he enjoys competition.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. He and Norshad Amir are great competitors. They love the challenge. That's why when the game was on the line, we're very fortunate. We really have four guys, Jordan Miller, Isaiah Wong, Norshad Amir, and Nigel Pack, who have all been in those situations where they're the focal point of the offense and have to deliver the big baskets or the big plays or the big rebounds. And Norshad was the player of the year in the Sun Belt Conference last year. He led his team in scoring and rebounding. He's the third leading rebounder returning in the country this year. So he's been there. He's done that. Jordan Miller was an all-conference player in the Atlantic 10 playing at George Mason. And he's had to make a ton of big plays both at George Mason and at Miami last year. If you remember his game-winning layup against Boston College in the ACC quarterfinals.
Yep.
And then Isaiah Wong, I can't tell you the number of times we counted on him to make a big shot for us at Virginia Tech. We didn't really run any offense. We just said, hey, Zay, just score. Well, and Isaiah would just take the ball and beat his man one-on-one or hit a jump shot or a three. And then, as you said, Nigel did it last year for Kansas State, and I'm sure he's ready to do it for us this year.
You have four players averaging 13 points. Now, four of your starters are averaging 13 points, so I would suspect that makes it a little difficult to defend you.
And then you got to add Wooga Poplar to that mix. He also a starter. He had 12 the other night, and he's really improving. Joe, I heard the play-by-play on his dunk, but the one he had in the first half where he Bensley Joseph hit him with like a scoop pass.
Yes.
And he took one dribble and went to the rim and he threw it down. Oh my goodness. like a Michael Jordan type dunk.
And then ran down the floor with that big smile of his.
Oh, yeah. What a
but
personality.
He's been a nice project of yours, right? I mean, and you appreciate the way that he responds to your coaching and the way he reaches out and some of the advice that he's asking for. He's very engaged. I find him to be very engaged with whatever you tell him.
I agree. And his ceiling is so high. What I'm going to ask you to observe during the course of this season is the number of pull-up jump shots that he shoots and makes. Because he's great at shooting the three and he's great at going to the basket, but I've really encouraged him to pull up and shoot a 15-footer because teams are going to scout him. They're going to know he likes to drive all the way to the rim, and they're going to take charges on him. But he also has an outstanding mid-range game, you know, 15 feet, and he can pull up and hit a jump shot and not take that extra dribble and end up charging. So he's working on that part of his game. He did it today in practice. He had a couple against Central Florida, and hopefully he'll keep improving in that area.
Yeah, he hit a couple of three from the outer regions the other night, and the net didn't even move.
Yeah, he has NBA range. I think most kids today fall in love with the three-point shot, and that's the shot they practice the most. And it doesn't matter whether you're 5'8 or 7'2", you're always in the gym shooting threes. Big guys like to shoot them as much as the guards. And Woga developed a very nice three-point shot in high school, and he was very successful taking the ball to the basket. But for him to be the caliber of player that we would like him to be, an all-conference kind of guy, a guy that's really hard to guard, he has to learn to select good mid-range jump shots. Because that's a part of his game that he's kind of ignored to a great degree, and I'm not letting him ignore it. I'm really encouraging that shot for him.
And I should mention, I don't want to look ahead too much, but I do want to mention that conference play does get underway this weekend. The University of Miami is going to be on the road Saturday and play Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Yum Center against Louisville, who's playing right now against Maryland. But conference play gets underway. This is a big week, ACC, Big Ten Challenge, and then Louisville on Sunday.
Really is. And we have four ACC games in December. So last year we got off to a great start. We were 4-0 in league play and ended up 5-0 when we went on the road and beat Duke. This year we've got two of those four games are on the road and two are at home. So we got our challenges in front of us this month. You know, December is now upon us, and we got the Christmas holiday season and a lot of really good games on hand.
Yep. Okay, tomorrow's Rutgers, so that's the next big one, an important one. You won the ACC Big Ten Challenge last year on the road against Penn State, so that was a good win on the road, and now at home against Rutgers, a tournament team back-to-back years. So this will be a big event for us at the Wasco Center tomorrow, 7:15. Will be the tip-off. Our broadcast, by the way, starts at 6:45, but 7:15 tomorrow, and I know you want to see a nice crowd out there.
I sure do. And last year, that road win over Penn State really catapulted us in the right direction. We were coming off a 32-point loss to Alabama, and then we went on a 10-game winning streak. Yeah. So that's what we hope we'll have great success tomorrow. And that'll propel us moving forward with the conference play with four ACC games coming up.
By the way, on your ride home Sunday night, did you avoid the traffic snafu on 95, or did you get off in time, or did you have to take a little detour?
No, I was, you know, watching for traffic. My wife, Liz, does all the driving. I don't drive. And she asked me, you think Joe is staying on 95? And because we got off and got on the turnpike when we found out that 95 had construction and They had all the lanes blocked but one. Did you run into the traffic, or were you lucky enough to get off?
No, I bailed out under the sawgrass, but I was going to call you because you were a little bit ahead of me. I was going to call you to make sure that you took off on the turnpike so you wouldn't get stuck in that mess on 95.
Yeah, our SID, Alex Schwartz, he didn't get off, and he said he sat in traffic for an hour.
Oh, yeah, no, I bailed out.
After a four-hour drive, you had another hour sitting in traffic in Miami.
I didn't want
That's no fun.
All right, I'll see you in your office tomorrow, Coach. Thank you.
All right, Joe.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. We were commiserating on our way home down the turnpike on Sunday night. And then there was a big traffic snafu right around Sunrise Boulevard on I-95. So at any rate, just a little bit behind-the-scenes activity. Let me talk to you, speaking about driving and being in cars, and Coach L, he was driving a automobile from Williamson Cadillac, and so was I, and so you can always visit Williamson Automotive, because Ed Williamson and Carol Williamson, his lovely wife, they do a great job, and they are big supporters of the University of Miami, and I want to talk to you about their other... Right there at the Cadillac dealership, you have the Buick GMC. And you can get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new GMC from Williamson Buick GMC. And new GMCs are arriving every day at Williamson. It's the holidays. They want to make sure that you're looking great during the holidays, that you got what you want. And may I suggest the GMC Yukon. Plenty of room for the entire family. A new Yukon with a little bow on it for the Christmas season would be perfect. It allows you to ride in style and comfort while making a bold statement wherever you go. Or maybe you want to cover work and play with the new GMC Canyon or the Sierra. Either one of those would look great in the driveway on Christmas Day. These trucks feature bold styling, the latest technology, all with the toughness to get the job done. And to get your new GMC, you can visit Williamson's beautiful facility, easy to find, at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, or online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience car buying like never before from your premier GMC dealership, Williamson Buick GMC. We are professional grade.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.